Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here again and to be in fellowship with you here this morning. Rob really wanted to be here and was making plans to be here, but our world is 2020 is envisioned, it seems to have become distorted. And people are not seeing so clearly anymore. And with Rob, he has a meeting. He has to leave for Monday night, and he felt he would be trapped and wouldn't be able to make it back home because they're talking sleet and rain, and they're talking for a record amount of snow for 13 inches. I don't know how many kilometers that is, you know, but I'm not into metric. But that was one thing that my kids always kept saying. I'd always talk in feet and inches and miles, and as soon as I would see a number, you know, it said kilometers right in my head, I already transported it into the imperial system. And so if people always ask how many kilometers is, I'm always telling them how many miles it is. And so then people right away say, well, how many kilometers is that? Well, the sign just told you if you'd have just looked at the sign, you know. And one thing about Jewish people is that as we travel and as we go anywhere, what does the Bible say that Jews look for? Look for a sign. And so I think that the reason that I was struggling with Parkinson's is because my head was always going, as I drive down like this is the way my head's always going, you know. Victor Woman asked me one time, are you reading every single sign on both sides of the road? Because he was just saying, like, my head was going like this. He goes, I'm driving, you know, it was going like this. And he'd say, what was on that sign? And I'd tell him, you know, we were out in Montana, and he thought, oh, there's no way. The sign was way off to the side. And he said, did you see that sign over there? And I said, yes, I did. What did it say? I said, it says home on the range. He couldn't believe it, you know. Well, I'm so excited here to share this morning. And we're going to be turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And we're going to be reading verses 50 to 59. And this morning I've titled my message, The I Am. The I Am that is from everlasting to everlasting. And so as we read John chapter 8, beginning with verse 50, and you have to kind of understand the context, is that Jesus has done some healing. The Jewish people are not happy of what he's done. They're telling him, you know, you're of the devil. You know what? How you do your healings is all, you know, by demons. And they tell him, you know, like in John 8:48, he says, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and has a devil? And Jesus answers that I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And here we now pick it up. So this is the argument that's going on. They're thinking that he has a devil, and he's going to tell them a few things. He said, I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And how important it is to know the sayings of Jesus. You know, there some men make some great sayings. Women make some great sayings. You know, sometimes out of the mouth of babes, you know, we get a saying. But the words of Jesus, the sayings of Jesus, are life and death. And he says here, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Because if you listen to his sayings, you'll never see death. And here's why the argument is. Abraham is dead. And the prophets, all the prophets are dead. There hasn't been a prophet in 400 years in this time period. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, which maketh thou thyself? Who are you? What are you saying? Like, you know, if you listen to my sayings. Because, I mean, Elijah, you're greater than Elijah. You're greater than the prophet Isaiah. Like, if a Jewish person, if you were to go to a Jewish Bible study, the one prophet that they turn to again and again is the prophet Isaiah. Though they're looking for Elijah, because that's during the Passover, as you were reading here this morning, brother, is that they're at the Passover, they every year they go to the door and they look for Elijah. Because it's Elijah who's going to declare who the Messiah is. And Jesus says, answered, if I honored myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, and of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him. Now, how could Jesus know that unless he's God? You have not known him, but I have known him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. It doesn't sound like fellowship and building up, you know, of one another. He's telling them exactly how it is. Why? Because he knows their heart. See, I could fool you. I could deceive you. Is he telling the truth or what's this all about? But with Jesus, he already knows all things. But I know him and keep his sayings. And so Jesus said many times, I did not come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. I did not come to do my will, I came to do the will of my Father who sent me. In fact, that's what the Gospel of John is really about the sent one, the one who is glorified, the one who is righteous, the one who is true, the one who is holy, the one who is just. Though I do not deserve grace, I plead for mercy. But he justifies, and he takes away my sin. Though, like, justification is not just as I've never sinned. It's just as I've sinned. And in his holiness, in his wonderful grace, as he extends out the grace of God. This is the grace of God, that as he said, Father, forgive them, is that he was drawing all men to himself. And that if you listen to his sayings, you'll never taste death. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. When did Abraham see his day? Well, just hold on to John chapter 8, and we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 18. It's one of the places where the gospel is given. It's one of the places where the promises of life, and that God was going to not leave anything behind. He was going to show everything to Abraham. And that's what the story in Genesis, in Luke chapter 15, when you have the story of the prodigal son, in the story of Lazarus in chapter 16 of Luke, and that the rich man was in hell, is that Abraham is the one that's defending the hall of the scriptures. But here he says to Abraham, Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation? And here's the gospel. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. That's Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Is that God promised it to Abraham, that all nations are going to be blessed. And that Paul says, and this is the gospel, as he gave it unto Abraham, that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And yet, blessed in what? By the grace of God. That is, the gospel would come, and with all the inclusive word of salvation, is that he would search us out, that he would draw us to himself. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. If the Father doesn't draw you, you cannot come. If the Holy Spirit doesn't put the conviction on you, you cannot come. You can't repent on your own. There is nothing good. The only thing I can do in my salvation is I did all the sinning. And he does all the saving. And I couldn't even come to him unless he draws me. You can't come to him unless he draws you. And so that Abraham was going to have everything shown to him. In fact, Abraham would take his son in Genesis chapter 22 and walk up that hill on Mount Moriah. And as Isaac would be carrying a long staff or a log on his neck, that would be the Lord Jesus. And as Abraham took his son up, his only son, as the scripture says, though he had other sons, but his only son, which has the everlasting covenant. That's to who Jesus is. That's Hebrews 13, 20. The everlasting, raise up that great shepherd of the sheep through the everlasting covenant of blood. Is that as Isaac walked up there, he says, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And God had already put upon Abraham's heart, God will provide himself. God's going to be the sacrifice. God's going to be the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And as you go down through Jewish traditions and searching, you know, like as they were trying to make sense of this, is that God's going to come down? He's going to be the Lamb? When John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." It was the Lord Jesus. And so here we find, he says, Abraham was glad to see my day and rejoiced. That as Abraham would walk up that mountain and God would, but through the angel of the Lord, angel meaning prophet, priest, messenger, king, Abraham, take up thy hand from thy son. And God provided a ram, but one day he would provide his son as his son would walk up Mount Moriah to take away the penalty of sin, the curse of sin, and to give everlasting life, the one from everlasting. Well, they said to him, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. In fact, he's only around 30, 31, 32 years of age. And yet thou hast seen Abraham. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, here's his sayings, unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out through the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Before Abraham was, I am. And they knew he was claiming to be God. He was the God of Israel, that he was the Lord of Israel, that he was the Messiah, the Christ. He was the King. That when he said, I am, they knew exactly. In fact, every time, if you go to John chapter 6, as soon as he says, I am the bread, they started to murmur and grumble and complain. What would happen when God gave the manna? They murmured, grumbled, and complained. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 4 that they followed the rock. That rock was Christ. And then it goes on and says that they murmured, grumbled, and complained. Now, if anybody's been to Israel, and we went to, if you came with us into Jordan, or if you had gone to Jordan, or if you just look at how Jordan is set up, Jordan is mountainous, it is rugged, it is a desert, it is hot in the daytime and freezing cold at night. And that's where Israel has to go. In fact, they murmured and grumbled and complained. Where's the meat? Where is the bread? Where is the water? It's too hot. It's too cold. They're families. You know, and it doesn't take long. You know, if your wives are not happy and the children are crying, you know, the father's going to hear about it, and he better do something pretty quick. And there's been many times in my life where I felt guilty that I wasn't who I was supposed to be. I didn't match up to be the father. I had let my family down. And you're discouraged. You're depressed. And it's on day in, day in, day in, day out, day out, day out. And it just keeps going on and on. In fact, my son Josh, as Bethany would know, is that whenever Josh would see something, he would say, Dad, there's a cow. And I'd say, oh, yeah, I see it. Dad, there's a cow. Dad, there's a cow. And finally, yes, I know it's a cow. Dad, there's a train. Dad, there's a train. And it went on and on until I acknowledged it. And see, the Jewish people complained and complained and complained till God acknowledged it. And then he sent things. I mean, he sent the serpents in there. I've had enough of this. I mean, he's telling them about destroying them. He's had enough. And when God acknowledged it, if it hadn't have been for Moses interceding, God would have wiped out the Jewish nation. He would have raised it, and he raised up stones. Well, that's what the devil says. Hey, why don't you turn these bread into stones? You know, God can raise up children of Abraham from the stones. And he could. But that wasn't his plan. But I said, there isn't a person on this planet that if you went to Jordan and you had to take your family and you got a whole, like say all of us had to walk now through there, there wouldn't be long before we'd start murmuring, grumbling, complaining. There isn't a people on the earth that wouldn't murmur, grumble, and complain. And yet that's what God is now telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 to 11. Don't be like them. How could we not be like them? Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's the only way. As soon as you take your eyes off, I mean, we're seeing how things are happening in our world today, and we murmur, grumble, and complain. We don't like it this way. You know, why does it have to be that way? You know, George and I were just talking about in the back. You know, there's things that we just don't like about this. And we murmur, grumble, and complain. But keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, Peter is the only man that ever walked on this planet that walked on water besides the Lord Jesus. He's the only one. I mean, and we say, well, Peter, what were you doing? You know, boy, did you ever slip off? Why did you take your eyes off Jesus? Because you were walking on the water. But at least he knew who to call out to when he started to sink. I'm finding that people today in our churches don't know who to call out to. And they're mad, they're, you know, or they're angry, or they've walked away. They've closed their buildings down. But God made a promise. He says, before Abraham was, I am. And so that's where I want to begin my message, is that before Abraham, God was already there. He's already written everything down in a book, that's Psalms 139. I may not like it. I may not want it. I may not want to be a participant in it, but it's for the glory of God. And because I don't like it doesn't mean that it's not right. Because whatever it is, it's to glorify God. And as we go through the scriptures, you see how many people wanted to go through that wilderness. How many people wanted to go into Israel? How many people wanted to get out of Israel? How many people, when there was wars, and you think of the Greeks and the Persians and the Babylonians and the Romans, the Lord Jesus come and lived in one of the most horrific time periods and a people. It wasn't just Jesus that was crucified. We're talking millions. They put them up on sticks. You know, they tortured them. I mean, you can read Josephus. It tells, like, he walked into Passover one time and the Caesar had them commanded that he would kill 1 million Jews right there up on the Temple Mount. History has not been good. I mean, we look at the church around us, and the church is struggling. I mean, Africa, India, China, Muslim countries, and there's others. And they're struggling to make a living. The Christians in Egypt live in garbage dumps. But we got nice homes. We got families to go home to. And yet, I want more. When things come that I don't like, I'm upset. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, that as he said before Abraham was, I am, keep your eyes on him. He's the bread. He's the vine. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the everlasting life. He's the resurrection and the life. I am the Son of God, John 10:35. And so here he comes to Abraham, and he says, before Abraham. And so I wanted to turn to Genesis chapter 15, and I want to show you the I am. Because to me, when you know the I am, he's always been there. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he says in John 15, and beginning with verse 1, and after these things, the word of the Lord. Remember what it says in John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. So he's just seeing it. But he says, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. Here's the I am. He's before Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing that I go childless, and the steward of my home is this Elias of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came. Not just now in a vision, he came to Abraham. He came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven. Where's our Lord Jesus right now? Towards heaven. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Towards heaven. Look unto the eastern sky. You know, your redemption draweth nigh. He's coming from heaven. If thou be able to tell, he said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And then he said unto him, I am the Lord. Before Abraham was, I am. And he's already given Abraham the gospel in Genesis 12:3. We're going to find it out in Genesis 18:18, Genesis chapter 22:18. He's going to give it now unto Isaac. And we're going to turn now to Genesis chapter 26. And here he says unto Isaac. And there was a famine. You know, I can only imagine, you know, like those that lived in this country, and they went through the famine, especially those in Saskatchewan. It was you know, the soil was gone. It was just blowing away. There was a famine. And how many people like to live in something like that and not being able to provide for your family? And yet they got through somehow. In fact, if you were to go to some of the senior homes, and as I've done, and people start talking about the good old days, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're struggling. You know, there was a number of people that had died. They couldn't make a living. And I said, what was it that, like you say, the good old days? What made it the good old days? Because people came along and helped one another in the midst of a struggle, in the midst of a problem. And I can tell you that I've faced that a number of times. And, you know, and you guys blessed us again with wood. You know, we don't have a lot of money, don't have money to get wood, and yet you've provided us again with wood. And well, we're going to heat our house again one more year, you know, as the Lord leads. And so I just want to say thank you for all those that came and helped and those that make provisions. But he says, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerara, in the land of Israel. And in fact, it's in between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I tell thee, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thee the seed of all thy countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And in thy seed, that's singular, it's not plural, it's singular, that all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the gospel. And we find out in verse 12 that it says that Isaac sowed in the land and received in that same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The only place that you find this word hundredfold, again, is where the Lord Jesus talks about there was a sower that went out to sow a seed, and that he reaped 100, and some 60, and some 30. The only one that ever reaped 100-fold was Isaac. Isaac has the everlasting covenant. And who is it, the one that's speaking to him? Well, look at verse 24 says. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. And then he tells him the very thing that we're told to do, fear not. The Lord Jesus said that many times, fear not. Peace be unto you. Shalom aleichem in Hebrew. For I am with thee. I am. I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's the I am. And he never forsake Abraham. He never forsake Isaac. He would not forsake Jacob. He would not forsake Israel. Though Israel would sin, though Israel did wrong, it wasn't based on Israel of them staying in the land, though God would punish them and take them out. It was based on the I am. Your salvation does not depend upon you. I mean, the Bible says, if I say I have no sin, I make God to be a liar. That all my righteousness are as a filthy rag. It all depends on Jesus. But what will be my attitude? What will be my response? Is that I come humbly. That if there's sin in my life, that I apologize. I make it right. If I've offended somebody, that I make it right. And if there's something, that somebody has something against you, that we go make it right. It's because of the I am. Let's just keep going. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 28. And here we find that it now switches to Jacob. And Jacob has been given the same promises that Abraham and Isaac were given. He says that in Genesis 28, verse 3 and 4. And now he has a dream. He's laying on a rock. And in verse 13 it says, and behold, the Lord stood above it. He stood above this ladder that was going from the earth up into the heaven. And he said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And to thy seed shall be the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed alone, in thy seed singular, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. It's the I am. And I will keep you I keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee till I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. The I am that was before Abraham, before Isaac, before Jacob, and that he's made a promise to them that in the land that he was going to take them to, it was going to be a good land. You know, George, you read that in Joshua chapter 5, the captain of the host, that's the Lord Jesus, into a good land. And that right at Gilgal, the place where he led them in, is where he was going to take off their burdens. And then they would celebrate the Passover. And in the Passover, you have four cups. You have the cup of sanctification. I'm going to set you apart. The second cup is the cup of praise, meaning that if you have no sin, no burdens, there's no trouble within your life, well, you should be praising God. But the third cup is the cup of salvation, in Hebrew, Yeshua. Jesus said, take this cup in remembrance of me. It's the third cup. It's his cup. Remember Jesus. And then in the fourth cup, it's the cup of acceptance. And Jesus says that in Matthew chapter 26, I will not drink of this cup, the fourth cup, till I drink it anew with you in heaven. Those who have proceeded before us are not going to have anything on you and me. Those who have passed away, and as we think of Ruth's sister, you know, she's not going to drink that cup before you get there. I mean, we look forward to that day when we too will go there. And whether it be through the grave or whether it be through the rapture, we're to keep our eyes on Jesus at all times, because as soon as you take your eyes off Jesus, then nothing makes sense anymore. The bitterness is hard to swallow. And Jesus said, you know, take this cup away from me. Why? Because it was bitter. And yet, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, tell your children, tell your families, you know, what a joy it will be when he takes away the sorrow, when he takes away and no more tears. And it's a promise that he's given to each and every one of us that love him. He's before Moses in Exodus chapter 3. God has heard the sufferings of the Jewish people in Egypt. He tells us that chapter 2, verse 23, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by the reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto the God by reason of their bondage, and God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And when Moses meets him at the burning bush, and he says, well, now what am I going to do? I'm telling you what you're going to do. You go back to tell my people. Verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And the God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said thus, and thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, that thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am. In fact, in Hebrew, it's Am Hayah. I am. Am Hayah means self-existing, always has been, always will be. Am Hayah, I am. I am from everlasting to everlasting. And I'll never leave you. I kept my promise to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm keeping him now to you, Moses. And that as I'm going to lead you into this land, and I'm going to show you my salvation, it's not just for the Jews. And I'm going to show it to the Gentiles. And they're going to come. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. In the land of Naphtali and Zebulun. You know, they're going to see such a great affliction as they've seen. But I'm going to bring them in. And the Gentiles shall see a great light in the valley of the shadow of death. That's the Lord Jesus. Up in the Galilee region in Nazareth is where Jesus would come. And he would tell them about the I am. And they murmured, grumbled, and complained every time he told them. But the Lord Jesus is not just before Abraham. He's actually before creation. Now turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verse 15 to 17. Or verse 14. And I'll change it one more time. Back to 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? Who has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, and that they that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He had to be there before he could do this. He's before creation. I mean, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things are made by him, and apart from him nothing is made. And the Word became flesh, as we find out in verse 14. And that he would come to dwell amongst us, and we would see his glory and grace. Is that he was before all things. He's before creation. And see, creation, you think of the heaven and the earth, but then you see the creation of all the things that are from the minutest details to the greatest. The things that are visible, the things that are invisible. He's made them. In fact, if you want to see something that's invisible, is that you turn all the lights off in this building and you put your projector on that has a blue light. I don't know if you have one, but if you turn it on, all of a sudden you see all the dust particles that were invisible. It's the light that shows it and reveals it. You would be amazed at how much is actually floating right here as we're here. Not just with me speaking, but what's here. Things that are around you, but you can't see them. The invisible things. But it's the light that always reveals the things. And in the beginning, it says, let there be light. That light, as you study from the Jewish perspective and all the rabbis before even the time of Jesus, every one of those people wrote that the light that was in Genesis 1, verse 3, is the Messiah. Every one of them. There isn't one that is excluded. They all believed. And so we find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says that he's chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. It's before creation. He's made us. He's chose us to know him. But do you realize what you've been given? Could you just keep it to yourselves? You shouldn't. Because 1.6 billion Chinese, 1.6 billion Muslims, 1.6 billion Catholics who pray to Mary, 1.6 billion Indians from India, and all the religions, and that makes 6.4 billion people on the planet that don't know Jesus. They don't know this I am. But then you got cults, religions. You got the atheists, the evolutionists, the humanists. And pretty soon that number starts to jump. And there's very few. And Jesus said, narrow is the way and few that find it. If you know Jesus as the I am, you've been given a great responsibility. It is a privilege to be a Christian. To know that one day we're going to spend eternity with the one who planned it all. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm just going to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, and I'm going to go back to verse 19. Because it's talking about our redemption. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you. Before the foundation of the world, salvation was already chosen and given, as I've chosen you before the foundation of the world. Is that he was thinking of you and me. He says that in his earthly prayer in John 17, that as Jesus was praying, he says, I don't just pray for these that are with me, his disciples. I pray for all those that will hear their words, that you would hear the words of the apostles about who Jesus is. Because everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's so everybody could know who the I Am is and what he's capable and what he's planning and what he's been doing all along. He's also before the world began. Turn back to John chapter 17, the Gospel of John. We were in John. We'll turn back to John 17. And here's Jesus in his high earthly prayer as the priest, the priesthood prayer. And he says in John chapter 17, and we begin with verse 1, these words, the sayings of Jesus, spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as to many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ thou hast sent. Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ meaning Messiah. Jesus the Messiah. You know, I always think of Lorna Simcox, that before she got saved, and she's now our editor of our magazine called Israel My Glory, when she was introduced to Jesus, she always kept saying, well, okay, so we know that Jesus' name, Jesus Christ, what was Mr. Christ and Mrs. Christ's name? You know, because she was thinking that his last name was Christ. They didn't know it meant Messiah. And she said, when she heard the name Messiah, that it was Christ Messiah, that she started to, something opened up in her head that he was claiming to be God. Well, is there any proof? And as she searched the scriptures, and she looked in the Old Testament, that all of a sudden her eyes were opened, and she saw Jesus for who he was. And I love that testimony. And it says, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me. That's Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. I have finished the work to get rid of transgression and iniquity and sin and to have the most holy anointed. And he says, now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee before the world was. Before heaven and earth were. We've looked at Abraham, we've looked at creation, but now before the world, glorify me with that glory that I had before the world was. Because that's who I am. That's the Lord Jesus. Before the world, 2 Timothy 1:9. And here we find that as Paul is writing this by the Holy Spirit, speaking to the people and those that would become believers in that first century, it is still relevant to this day. And he says here in verse 9, 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So just as he called us, this salvation that he was going to save us with was before the world began, and that he was going to draw us to all men to himself. Turn to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. And here we find again the Apostle Paul speaking, that as he was teaching about the truth and about godliness, he says in verse 2, in hope of eternal life. I hope that that's what you have in mind, eternal life, and that you fixed it on Jesus Christ, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Before this world began, God, who cannot lie, made a promise about hope in eternal life, and that that life is in Jesus Christ, his Son. Acts 3:21. And he's going to send Jesus in Acts 3, verse 19, you know, and that we're told to repent. In verse 20, he's going to send Jesus Christ. But in verse 21, it says, whom heaven must receive. That's the Lord Jesus. As he went up in there, he said, you Galileans, why you look up into these heavens? This same Jesus that you see going will come again in like manner. Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So here he's called us before the world, saved us before the world, but since the world, he has sent the prophets. He sent them to the Jews. He sent them as Jeremiah. He was to the Gentile, to the nations. He sent Jonah to the Ninevites, the nations. We had Daniel and Ezekiel go with Nebuchadnezzar, with Darius, and with Cyrus to the nations. And that they made decrees. You can, as you read them, they made decrees that, hey, you do not say anything about the God of Abraham or the God of the heavens or the king, as Nebuchadnezzar called him, the king of heaven. Don't you dare say anything against him. It was that they were not without excuse. Even Paul says that up in Acts chapter 17 at Mars Hill. He says, I see that you people are superstitious, but he says you have a gravesite, a statue of the unknown God. And here I've come to tell you of which your poets also declare. It wasn't that the nations didn't know. It's that many of them chose not to listen. Just as many of the Jews did not listen. And even down to the centuries that we're in, many Jews do not listen. But the world is in darkness. He's before the beginning, as we're told in John 1:1, but in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. And as I've said before, that word beginning, barashit, is one word made up of three. Bar is son, ish is man, te is the mark, the cross, that from the beginning, before this beginning, that as he made the heavens and the earth, is that it was about a son, a man, and a cross. And that he was coming for you and me. Isaiah chapter 48. As I mentioned, many of the Jewish people would be, they would even meet here on Sunday. But they meet on Friday night, Saturday, but they also meet on Sunday as well. And they would have sang, Ein Kelohenu, meaning there is none like our God. There's none like our King. There's none like our Lord. There's none like our Savior. But here you come to verse 48, chapter 48 and verse 16. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. I've been speaking right as every time you've heard me speak, every time I've laid out the scriptures, and I can show you in every book, just about, of the Old Testament, the word I am is found. He was constantly speaking to the people. And he says, from the time that it was, and there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. That's the words of the Lord Jesus, has sent me. The Father and the Spirit hath sent me. And who is this one that's me? Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am. It's the I am that's speaking. It's the I am that was sent. I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way. Jesus said, I am the way. The way to where? Back to the garden. Because in Genesis 3:24, they put up two cherubim. God's put up two cherubim to guard the way, it says. And what was in the way? The tree of life. See, Adam and Eve could have eaten of the tree of life. They could have eaten of any tree except one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. Because in that tree is that when Satan said it, you'll be like God, you'll know good and evil. Who created evil? God did. People said, what? Yes. Go to Isaiah 45, verse 7. I create evil. I, the Lord, create evil. It was in the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You'll be like God. Yeah, you'll be like God, all right. You'll always be, when you see the good, you'll always lean away from it. When you see the evil, you'll always drift towards it. Jesus said, you being evil, know how to give good gifts. He wasn't complimenting people because you gave able to give a good gift. He was saying that you being evil, it's amazing that you can do anything. But with the Lord Jesus, he takes that away. That's the grace, the evil that leads us into sin and pulls us away from the one that loves us. I am. And I'll lead you to the way that is profitable for your souls, for you, for your families, for those extended, for those of your neighbors. I'll lead you in the way that is profitable for everlasting life. Isaiah 64, verse 4. And it says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. Because they're not in heaven. He's working in heaven. It's in the invisible, though it is visible to God. And he's been busy. You know, if he created the world in 6 days, can you imagine what he's been doing for the last 2,000 years? I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. If it were not so, I would have told you. For in my Father's house are many mansions. He's gone to prepare a place for you. There's a table there for you. I'm going to make you a king and a priest. You're going to intercede and you're going to sit with me as I sat with my Father on his throne. But since the beginning, man has not known what God has done. In fact, we're told in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God set eternity. He set the world within our heart. But for every day that you're on this planet, you will not know the work of God. Jesus, they asked Jesus, what is the work of God? In John chapter 6, Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent, the I am. John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. You want to live? You need bread. I am that bread. He told the woman, you know, that she said, you don't even have a cup to draw water. If you only knew who it was that was speaking to you, of the water I give, you'll never be thirsty again. She said, give me that cup. And she went out and told everyone around her. John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. It's before the days of eternity. Turn to Micah chapter 5, and we're on the home stretch here. Micah chapter 5, he's before the days of eternity. He says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, and the emphasis is Ephratah. It was in the valley, in Psalms 132, verse 12 and 13. I've heard this in Ephratah. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Before the days of eternity, he had to already be there, because he is from everlasting to everlasting. Turn to Psalms. Psalms 103. Verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. From everlasting to everlasting, mercy as the grace of God comes pouring down. And how shall they hear unless somebody be sent? And how shall they be sent unless they preach? If they're not going to preach the gospel, if they're not going to tell you about Jesus, they're not going to tell you about the I am, how are they going to know about eternity? How are they going to know what's for everlasting? It's the Lord Jesus. I like what Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of God. It can't be Solomon. He's not from everlasting. But Solomon, as he writes it, is writing of one. He says, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the field, nor the highest parts of the dust of the earth, when he prepared the heaven, I was there. The I am. Before eternity. Before everlasting. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He says that again in Revelation 22, verse 13, the very same words. I am. It's always been about him. It's the glory of God. Glorify thou me, Father, with the glory before I had the foundations of this world. And what was the point? Last time I spoke here, I spoke about the mystery, the Lord Jesus, and I just want to finish with that once more. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. What was the point? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. And he's come for you, he's come for the Gentiles, he's come for the Jews, because he wanted people to spend eternity with him. He made them to live. He made them that they would desire him and to glorify him. But as he says in John chapter 1, he came unto his own and his own received him not. He came unto the world and the world knew him not. But to as many as believed, they could become the sons of God, the children of God. Let's pray. Father, just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you've come alongside of us to teach us about who you are from the beginning until the end. And that you knew Abraham, and that you knew that as they would learn about you, and that Abraham would defend the word of God in chapter 16 of Luke, is that all the promises that were made is that you would not forsake even one. Lord, I thank you for what you've promised to the body of Christ, to each one here this morning, that, Lord, that there is a blessing. There are 8,800 promises given to us. We've been given your sayings that are life and death. And that, Lord, that even in our sorrows and in our struggles, that you said you'd never leave us or forsake us, and that you'd go with us, that you would walk with us until that day when we shall see you, whether it be through the grave or whether it be through the rapture, through the clouds. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and on him alone, the one who is the Alpha and Omega, the one who is the beginning and the end, the one who made all things, the one who understands all things, the one who runs and keeps all things. That, Lord, that as we go through this world, we see the things happening in our world, and especially as we see our world being shut down, see the world being deceived, help us to fix our eyes on the one, the I Am, who knows all things and loves us. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing on each one here this morning, that their hearts would be lifted up, that their hearts would be lifted up and looking for into the eastern sky, for our redemption draweth nigh. Looking unto Jesus, the one who is coming. Looking unto Jesus for the one who has planned that he had gone to prepare a place for us. Looking unto the Lord Jesus to take us to our families and our friends and for those around us. And that, Lord, that if there's opportunity, that we might be able to give out the word of God, that we might be able to support those that are preaching, those that are teaching. I just think of Richard this morning. I just pray that you'd be with him and with his family, Gabriella, and the children. I thank you, Lord, for each one in this church that has prays and gives and supports and comes alongside. And so we just give you all thanks because, God, you are still in control. All these things are written in your book, and I thank you for loving us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.